Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Book of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm getting geeked up because in about 24 days I will be on an airplane traveling across this country. I got to tell you my flight schedule. I leave at 6 o'clock in the morning here at Epley. That's usually about the time Chris goes to bed in the morning. So she'll take me to the airport. Jeff and I will be flying out to, we're going to be flying to Houston, Texas. I don't know why we got to do that, but flying to Houston, Texas, have an hour layover, then get on that plane. We fly to Newark, New Jersey, get there about 2:30 in the afternoon. At 4:30, that's when we're going to take off to our destination, Israel. We'll be there about 9:45 the next morning. I will see the future. I will be 9 hours ahead of you guys. So if you want to know what's going on, give me a call, and we'll take care of things. Well, go ahead, and I hope you got your place in the book of Ephesians chapter number 8. We're going to begin reading in verse number 8 through verse number 14. I got my title this morning, as I've gotten in the last few weeks, from the Word of God. This section that we're going to be dealing with today is going to be called Walking in the Light. And we're going to see some things that God has for us. Paul gives us some very interesting things to look at here. So let's begin reading verse number 8. We'll read down through verse number 14. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So this is where I get our theme this morning. Paul's wanting us to, in the next few verses, see the importance of what it means to be walking in the light rather than walking in darkness, because as a believer, our walk should not be in darkness. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you some things that take place after hours. And hopefully it'll be eye-opening to you. Okay, verse number 9, it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." All right, as I pray this morning, again, I'm going to ask you to do yourself a favor, as I've been doing the last several weeks. I'm going to pray hourly to our Lord. And I want you as individuals to pray a silent prayer to God and asking God to do a work in your heart that he's never done before. Ask him to show you some things that you've never seen before. And ask him to be open to his word. Amen? So let's bow ourselves in a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be here again together. Lord, what a great day that you've given us to serve you. Lord, I pray today as we are going through your word and we are going to see the importance of walking in the light and how we are to be separate from this issue, this thing that is called darkness. Because, Lord, we know what takes place in that type of a setting, and we know how it can be disastrous to our lives. So God, I pray that you would help us to be encouraged as we go through your word this morning. We ask it in your name. Amen. It's interesting, as I was going through this, I did not know what was going to take place last night. And I'm home, just chilling out, just relaxing a little bit. My wind down time is anywhere between 9 and 11 o'clock at night. Usually my days are pretty full, and I'm not complaining. That's just how I am. And so my wind down time is that time. My wife and daughter, they do whatever. They fly off the seat of their pants. And something comes up, they take off. Last night they had a bright idea to go to Omaha and buy some crumble cookies. And so that left me at my house by myself for a few hours, because when they say they're going to be about 5 minutes, it's always 2-3 hours later. And that's okay. That's who they are, and I appreciate them and love them for that. But I'm sitting at home, and watched a little bit of television. I can't even remember what I watched, to be honest with you. But I heard this thing just going around our neighborhood. I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? And it went away for a little bit, then it came back. And I went out and I saw that there was lights on this thing that was... I think I said, well, that's not a UFO. That is a police helicopter. I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? And so that sound lasted just for a couple minutes, and then it went towards the east end of town. And I was praying for the East Enders at that point in time. And it didn't last long because it came right back to the West End. And it began really to hover around my neighborhood. And about that time, Chris and Jalen were getting home, and I knew they were becoming home because I have an app on my phone. It's Life 360. I stalk them. I know where they're at all the time. Matter of fact, if I zoom in on it, I can see exactly where they're at, how fast they're going, and if they're waving at me. No, I can't see that. But I can zoom in on those things, and I knew they were coming home. Well, they got home, and they said, Chad, what's going on down the street? I said, I have no idea. I just know that there's a helicopter out there, and they're probably obviously searching for somebody. And lo and behold, I get up on a Council Bluffs scanner this morning. I pull it up, and I see that they had two motorcycles that were being chased from Omaha into our town, and they caught them just a couple blocks down from us. I'm thinking to myself, man, things that happen during the dark are not always glamorous. And we're going to see this as we go through this. Last Sunday, we covered the importance of walking in love, just to back up a little bit, and staying away from a lifestyle that consists of fornication and filthiness and uncleanliness as well. As we continue to go on in this subject today, believers should be walking a life that is pleasing and glorifying to the Lord. Now, a lifestyle that is a believer that chooses to walk in darkness is a lifestyle that's not going to be pleasing, and it's a lifestyle that's not going to be glorifying to the Lord. See, there's a difference. And we got to decipher this morning. So this morning, we will shift our focus to that of walking in the light. No more being associated with darkness. And this reason, because we got to get this through our heads again, because of our salvation, we accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen to that. And so because of that, our old man has died. But we still have a flesh that Satan tries to go around and begins to poke at it. Tries to tempt us. And every once in a while, that old flesh comes to life, and that will take us into a life of darkness, meaning we're no longer walking in the light. And so we need to be careful with this, so we're shifting our focus with this morning. There has been several studies I've looked up, not only this past week, but I've looked it up in years past, and they all come to the same conclusion as this. They all point to a lifestyle that isn't pleasing at all. Things that happen at night, things that happen in the dark, usually aren't something that is not glorifying to the Lord. In the city of New Orleans, I made reference to this a few weeks ago, and I think I even made reference to it last week, and I even made reference of Las Vegas as well. But in the city of New Orleans, during the day, if you were to be a tourist in this town, everything will seem pretty much normal. You'll have people just walking around, going around, looking in these shops and all those things. However, there is a big change that takes place between 8 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. It's very unique. So as the sun goes down, the scene becomes very devilish. Witchcraft, drunkenness, and nudity are a normal thing to see in the city of the United States of America. I kid you not. It is a lifestyle that is really being pleasing to the devil. It's not pleasing to the Lord. It's not glorifying the Lord. It's not a righteous life. It is an unrighteous life. And so in our own country, we have things that will distract us from wanting to walk in the light. In recent months, I have heard that there's a change that has happened with crime in our city. I'm pretty fortunate. I'm able to know a few of our police officers are here in town, and I stay in contact with them. on a pretty normal basis. I like to be caught up with things, and I don't stay in contact with him on a normal basis and say, okay, take me off the jug. And that's not what I'm saying here, okay? I have conversation with him. And during his conversation, they have told me the change that has been taking place. It's kind of unique. It used to be that at night, the guys who worked the night shift were loaded and inundated with a lot of crime. There has been a shift in our city. And I don't know if you folks are aware of that, but the shift has come from the darkness, and now they're trying to bring it into the light, and now our city is being more inundated, and crime levels have gone up during the day. So much so, the guys who work the night shift because they like the action, that's why a lot of them go to the nights, they have now shifted their shifts towards the day because crimes have increased during that time. The new life that we have now should be a life that consists of walking in the light. And when you're walking in the light, class, who are we walking with? Exactly. We're walking with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, which is a good thing for us to do. I believe what Paul is trying to get across is this church. Now, he's written this letter to the church of Ephesus, and I believe he's writing this letter for this reason. Because our old man, who do we represent? The world, the devil, and ourselves. Now, Paul is writing this letter because now he's trying to tell this church, hey, folks, you can't walk in the light. I've seen what's taking place in here. Remember what's going on in this city right now at this point in time? It's one of the most pagan places in the world taking place at this point in time. And so Paul is bringing this to their attention, and now he's saying, hey, you've changed. God has saved you from this old lifestyle. You're no longer supposed to be representing Satan. You're no longer supposed to be representing the world. And so now you've been brought over into this new category. And now your new category puts you in the life of Jesus Christ. And because now you're supposed to be walking in the light of Jesus Christ, now you represent him. But think about this. How often do we as believers represent Jesus Christ the way that we should? Think about that. Because not all of us do that on a daily basis. So he's writing this. He say, hey, church, if you're gonna walk in the darkness, you're not representing Christ. You're representing your old lifestyle that you died to, that Christ died for. So as we continue to go on, a few years ago, I spent a few nights in Tiberias. It's one of the most beautiful sceneries that I have been able to have in my vision. I was able to see that day. Now it's captivated in my memory. I'm thankful for that. And in this city, you're overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And you're able to see the things that Jesus had surrounded himself at that point in time. Obviously, it's more modern now, and I understand those things. A lot of those things were in place. But it's still, I'm able to see a lot of the things that Jesus saw with his own eyes. And it's very beautiful to look out into the sea during the day. You're able to see some of the waves at night as it becomes very calm, soothing, relaxing. The hotels are right there, right off the sea. You can hear the waves coming in and everything dying down. So during the day, everything seemed normal. But after hours, I noticed something the two nights that I was there. The city became something totally different. And I was amazed at what took place. A place where Jesus was seen walking on the water was a place that had become different during the night hours. What had happened was this. You'd see people lining the streets having what you seem to be a good time. You'd hear laughter. You just hear people begin to talk and all those things. But when getting closer, the truth would be revealed during this time. And what was that truth? This was a town square being filled with a lot of folks. And here's what I saw take place. A place where Jesus, not too far away from there, just a little bit northeast of there, as he's up on the Mount of Beatitudes giving this lesson to the disciples. This place, not too far from there, is now being filled with people walking around, smoking pot. You can feel it in the air. Matter of fact, I did some study on this. Did you know that in the city of Israel, on Saturday, there is a law banning and prohibiting anybody from smoking? I kid you not. And the non-smokers love it that day because they get to have some clean air. So just something I want to throw at to you real quick. So as they begin to smoke their pot, the air was thick with the smell. And if you stayed around long enough, I kid you not, because I've actually been in a situation before when I was working in a house here probably about 10 years ago for work. I walked into this house. There's probably about, 10, 12 people just sitting around, and they're smoking, and I had no idea what was going on. You know, that's their lifestyle. I don't intrude. That's their business. I did my work. I was in there for a little bit. And before I get done with this, I noticed something when I was walking in. In this house, they had pictures of clowns all over the place. I should have noticed, if you got pictures of clowns in your house, something's strange going on. Because I'm going to tell you, clowns scare me. They do. Some make occupations that way. I actually have a few good friends that are clowns. I remember going to the circus as a younger person. Man, I was scared to death of clowns. But I saw these pictures on the wall. Get back to my story. I do my work. I get up, and I start walking out. I noticed something that was taking place. These clowns were no longer still. They were moving. I'm like, what's going on here? I'll tell you what happened. The same thing that can happen in Israel if you're in this long enough. What took place is I got a contact high. That's what took place. I had to call my supervisors right away. I had to tell them what was going on because I, through my work, I have drug tests. One, because I hold a CDL license and I have random drug tests. And they're wasting their time with me, but I had to tell them, hey, if I get called in right now, this is what's going on. See, that's what takes place. You're around this long enough, you'll begin to have a contact high. What is usually associated with darkness isn't always glamorous. Sure, people will try to lure you, but children of God shouldn't even have a desire to be a part of that lifestyle. Amen? Why? I will tell you why. Because we are called and we are commissioned to walk in the light. Walking in the light is a separation from the darkness. And I'm not talking about the light that is the sun. I'm talking about the light that is the Son of God. That's what we need to be walking in. When walking in the light, we are taking on God's attributes. We can see even 1 John, the importance of walking in the light. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter number 1. I have begun a new deal as I begin to put messages on my tablet. I haven't done this in times past. I'm just giving you some time to get there as I tell this story. I'm to a point now where I'm writing things up. I'm writing the verses. So as I'm reading this, if I missay a word, please understand I probably mistyped it and I didn't add it in there. I'm not doing that purposely. I am coming from the KJV. I just want you to understand those things. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. It says this. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you that God is light. And what's it say in the next few words? It says, and in him is no darkness. Okay? So if we're associating ourselves with darkness, we're not associating ourselves with God because God is light. Verse number 5 says this. It says, in him is no darkness. And so if God has no darkness in him, and now because we are a representation of him, we too should have no darkness in our life as well. Amen? Why? Because God consumes us, and because he consumes us, his light is shining through us. Okay? Let's go on in verse number 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, look, what's those two words say, folks? We lie. See, you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You can't serve, as the Bible says, two masters. Okay? So let's read this again. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Okay, let's do some examining. Let's rewind our videotape in our lives throughout this past week. It can get pretty scary. Okay? So let's just stop it around Wednesday. Wednesday, was your walk with the Lord in the light, or was it in darkness? Think about that. We all put on a good front. We'll come to church, we'll say amen, we'll say hallelujah, all those things. But once we walk away from here, the lights that we say that we might be walking in, it's not taking place. Let's read this again. If we say that we have fellowship with him, who's him? It's Jesus. It's God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And walk in darkness, we lie. What's it say in the next few words here? And do not know the truth. Verse number 7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, look what this says. We have fellowship with one with another. So in other words, if we're in darkness and Gary's in light, we can't have fellowship. But if him and I are both walking in the light, guess what? Gary and I, we can have fellowship. And we can have good fellowship. And there's been some good times where Gary and I had some good fellowship, even on the golf course. I get mad at him at times. Chad, you got to hit it this way. No, Gary, I want to hit it that way. I like the other fairway better. If you want to stay on your fairway, that's fine. Just kidding. But there's good fellowship that takes place. Okay, let's read it again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What these verses are saying to us is this. You want to have fellowship with me, then you must reject the darkness. And I'm not talking about me, myself. I'm talking about God the Father. If you want to have fellowship with God, then you must reject, you must resist of wanting to walk in darkness. It's a battle every single day. We are in a spiritual battle. Every single day that we wake up, we have to make a choice. I'm either going to walk with God today, or I'm going to walk in darkness today. That's a choice. By the way, how can we make those choices become more real in our lives to where we're not walking in darkness? I will show you how to do that. And it's by this. You know why most God's people, most believers, continue to walk in darkness? It's for this reason. They walk away from it. They get fed on Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, and possibly on Wednesday night. But once they go home, the Word of God is put on the shelf, or it's either left in the car, or it's on the refrigerator, somewhere in the house. They have no clue where it's at until Sunday morning comes around, and they're frantically looking for it. Oh my goodness, I can't go to church without my Bible. By the way, I'm seeing a trend take place. People are coming to church without their Bibles now, which is sad. So we have a choice every single day. You know what? I can walk in the light every single day, and it's by picking up His Word. And it's by opening it up and allowing God to speak to me. And when I allow God to speak to me through His Word, guess what's going to take place? He is going to give you the ability to walk away from darkness and to walk in his light. And by the way, here's something to think about. When you're walking in his light, I just kind of want to jump on this one. You're walking in his footsteps. Think about that. We are called, we are commissioned to walk in the light. With walking in the light, we will also be able to have fellowship with each other. We're going to experience that here in about another hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. All depends on how long I go the next hour. But we're going to experience having sweet fellowship. Some folks get here early, some folks get here late, but there's always sweet fellowship. We can't even start on time. We have bells in this church. And you folks are late coming to your chairs because you're having fellowship. Shame on you. Knock it off. No, I'm just kidding. That takes place because the light that we're choosing to walk in. Amen? Walking in the light will also have other benefits. It's mentioned in verse number 9. It says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." This is allowing us, as mentioned earlier, taking on the attributes of God. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter number 5. Because I'm not done dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. I like what Pastor said because he's really illuminated this to me. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So verse number 22 of chapter 5, verse number 23 as well. So here are some of the things that we will benefit from as we continue to walk in the light. Matter of fact, I want you to think about this. If we're walking in the light, these are things we're going to experience. But if we're not walking in the light, if we're choosing to walk in darkness, we're not going to experience these things. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. But the fruit of the Spirit, say it with me, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So one of the things that we get to experience as we're walking in the light is love. And I'm not talking about just any love. It's hard for me to put into words. I know how much I love my wife. And I know how her love makes me feel at times. It gets my stomach queasy, not because I'm upset or sick. It's just because it just overcomes you. I had to explain it really quick. And it just gives you, goosebumps in your stomach. Does that sound right? Can you have goosebumps in your stomach? Butterflies, thank you. Butterflies in your stomach. Goosebumps will be more like gas. butterflies in your stomach. You have more of a joy. We have a joy of being around each other. We don't get to see each other as often as we like. But the time that we're with each other, it's absolutely amazing. Matter of fact, as we're getting older in our marriage, we're 28 years coming up, I believe, this coming year, I've noticed that our arguments are, they're very few and far in between. Why is that? Because I'm really starting to understand what love is and how much she means to me. Because there's just some things that we choose just not to argue about because they're not worth it. And so really what's taking place, we're learning how to walk with the Lord, and two, we're learning how to walk with each other. And because we're learning how to walk with each other, we're really experiencing what love truly is. And that's truly amazing. I've been on several car rides with my mom and dad. My mom and dad, when they're on car rides, they don't talk. They communicate. I'm thinking, man, what are they saying? They got something going on here. But they're able to do those things because of the love that they have. I know that doesn't make sense, but it makes sense to me. The other thing that you are to experience is this, joy. You know, most people who choose to walk around in darkness aren't experiencing joy. Why is that? Because they're not happy. walking in the light, we're able to experience what true joy is. The other thing that we're able to experience is this, is peace. I was able to experience what true peace was here recently, and I shared it with you last week as I was teaching last week's Sunday school. That was very difficult for me to do. But through that whole thing, God gave, I was queasy all the way up through that. I was kind of dreading it. I'm thinking, Lord, are you serious? Is that what you want me to do? This is the direction you want me to go? And in my mind, I was battling the Lord. But as time came, the Lord gave me such peace about it. So you're able to experience peace, long-suffering. Oh. What do you mean by long-suffering? Well, you're going to suffer long. Gentleness, goodness. I'm rushing through this because I want to get done here. Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 5 says that we are to prove. Let's read this. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Meaning to establish the truth, the genuineness of God, by having a life that is not walking in darkness. If you're walking in darkness, excuse me, forgive me, let me start this over. If you're walking in darkness, this would be hard to prove. I want you to think with me for a moment. When watching television, when do most of the beer commercials come on? If you watch it during the day, if you're retired and you're watching The Price is Right and all those things, you're seeing different commercials. You're seeing commercials like laundry detergent. You're seeing commercials like dentures. Hey, elderly, don't forget to glue your dentures. You know, things like that. But after the hours, as the sun begins to go down, those unacceptable advertisements begin to come out. And it comes out for this reason. Because they're trying to lure you into a lifestyle. They're trying to take you away from the light to step into darkness and to walk in those things. Why does this take place at night? Because Satan has used this as a tool to lure people into the bar scene to get drunk. And here's what normally happens. This leads to crimes being committed. This also leads to marriages who suffer because of these things. Because when you step into a bar scene, you become intoxicated, and you begin to look at people differently, and so there's married people in there, and then they commit adultery. So marriages are ruined. And when folks aren't married, there's another thing that takes place, and that's fornication as well. There's a purpose for this. Because they do not want you walking with God. Verse number 11, it says this. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Paul is saying this. If we are walking in the dark, then we are choosing to have fellowship. I'm going to use a Hebrew word here, Belial. Belial is a term in the Hebrew Bible that later became personified as what? Satan, the devil. Paul uses the word here, reprove. Reproving means that we are to rebuke it. Rebuke it. Having no desire to even being associated with it. Some people are different than others. I appreciate my brother-in-law. He's going to be here in a few weeks. He's actually going to be teaching here on Sunday night, and I hope you guys have a good time with that. But he will be here. There's one thing that Kurt has struggled with when he was younger. And it was a lifestyle that he lived, and it wasn't pleasing to the Lord. And he struggled with alcohol. And not only that, he struggled with worldly music as well. To this day, because of his personal struggles that he had, Kurt refuses to go into any type of restaurant that serves any type of those refreshments or beverages. Why? Because he knows that that was a lifestyle that led him into darkness, that kept him out of walking in the light of the Lord. So we are to rebuke those things, having no desire to even be associated with it. Why would we want to put ourselves in the camp of an enemy? Think about this. I heard my father say this a few months ago. He had no idea I was really paying attention when he said this. It's just a personal conversation him and I were having. And I'm going to give you an illustration here. Last year, I believe God removed me from the camp of the enemy by closing the doors for the chaplaincy for the sport team. Why do you say that? Let me get to it. Yes, I was upset at first, but I became very grateful because I realized what Catholicism is associated with. And God removed me from it. Why put yourself in the camp of the enemy? Do you know Catholic churches today? I can show you one right here in town. I've been in a few times because of work. But Catholic churches today are now being built with bars in them full of alcohol. Hey, come to my church. We have a bar over here. What do you want to drink today? That's how they're trying to lure people in. Matter of fact, Catholicism has changed their ways of trying to get people into the churches now. You know, some Catholic churches are now even going to bus routes, something they never did in the past. They're changing their ways. My friend, that isn't a life that is walking in light. That is a life of darkness. Here's something else I've heard. We're in the age of Lent right now, and here's what's taking place. I've heard this, and you might be stunned by this. I've heard most Catholic people, they look at fish fries as tailgate parties. I've heard that. Gary's heard that. Matter of fact, that's a lifestyle that Gary was saved from. And I'm thrilled to death he got saved from that. And I'm not condemning anybody else or anybody else's religion. Don't get me wrong on that. But when you're not teaching Christ, yeah, I can condemn that. I thank God for showing me that and delivering me from that as well. Verse number 14, it says, where he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. What Paul is saying here is very clear. Wake up. Wake up, rise up, and walk in the light of God. And allow him to be the one to guide your path. Let him walk with you. It's really sad today to see so many of God's children walking in darkness. We see it. We see it throughout the week as we walk away from church. I've seen it with my own eyes as a young person in this church, looking up to adults in this church, and I would see them, and I felt safe and secure with them at a young age. And then as I would see them outside these walls, there was a different lifestyle that was being led and lived. The old life is dead. But unfortunately, here's what happens. We perform CPR on it. We try to revive it. And we try to go back to that life of living on occasions. How can we move from this lifestyle? I'll show you how. By closing the book. By closing the chapter of that life. And opening a new chapter in your life with God. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. I said earlier, why do many believers walk in darkness? Because this very word that God has given us is not being read and it's not being studied. Here's the other sad thing. I got a little bit of time. Here's another sad thing that's taking place. Men, the leaders of the family, they're not even leading their families anymore. What's taking place? You have women that are more spiritually stable than the man is in the house. Why is that? Because you're seeing a slow transition of walking away from the light and slowly walking into the darkness. And the women are at home scared, studying, reading their Bibles. Dear God, help me. Help my husband see the importance of walking in the light so that he can lead our family closer to you. See, man, we have a great responsibility. It's not my wife's job to show and tell me what the Word of God says. And for her to show and tell me how to live by God's Word, it's my job. Hey, honey, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's that mean? Well, let's study this out. How does that take place, men? It's by walking away from the darkness and stepping into the light. Amen? Well, I hope this has been encouraging to you today. It's been encouraging to me. And I hope it has some new meaning to you. I hope you're enjoying the series going through the book of Ephesians. And we'll still continue this. Let's have a word of prayer. And we'll have a few moments of fellowship. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. I thank you for your people, for their attentiveness to your word. God, I hope it's been challenging to some. And Lord, if it hasn't been challenging, God, I know that you're still working. And your work is not done. My time might be done speaking, but your time is still going forth, working in the hearts and lives of every single person here in here today. Lord, we pray that you be with us in this next hour, and we ask it in your name. Amen.